going on, everyone? Welcome to the One Man's Opinion Podcast. I am your host, Noah Gillian. So happy you decided to join in today. It is the 2nd of August, 2021, and we are here to recap another great week in sports. On today's episode, we are going to recap the NBA draft that took place at the tail end of last week and discuss some picks that we loved, some that surprised us, and some of the teams who we believe had good overall nights. Before we get into it, you can find me on Twitter at Noah Gillian. You can also find the show's account at OneMansOpinion17. Both of those will be in the description below. So without further ado, let's just get right into it. The NBA draft was conducted last Thursday, July 29th, and it did not disappoint at all. There were some picks that went chalk, and which we expected, but there was definitely some picks that surprised along the way, also made you scratch your head. So first off, I was going to touch on two teams specifically before I kind of got into the overall draft board and some other teams. The first being the Philadelphia 76ers. They ended up selecting 28th this year in the draft, and they ended up going with a little bit of a surprise, at least in my mind. I did not was not expecting this selection, but a lot of people definitely liked the pick in Tennessee guard Jaden Springer, 6'4", 18-year-old freshman out of Tennessee. And a lot of evaluators really liked him. They had him as a top 20 player on their personal boards. So for the Sixers to scoop him up at 28 was believed to be a great value by many. Very talented, very young, projectable guard for the Sixers to scoop up here. You know, a lot of people think he needs to add a little bit offensively to his game, but defensively is where he really gets his stamp of approval from evaluators and everything. That's what's going to get him on the court early in the season, early on in his career for that matter. You know, a lot of people kind of comp him to an Avery Bradley type player if the shot comes along. That kind of is the one thing that is really kind of holding him up right now and probably made him slide a little bit more than some people thought was his jumper. But, you know, a lot of people were definitely sold on his defensive ability. You know, 6'4" guard, I believe he has up to a 6'8" wingspan. So someone who's got the physical tools to guard, someone who's got the motor to guard. And it's going to be interesting. You know, the Sixers have a little bit, after not really having a lot of guards, you know, that could do a lot of things. They have now Tyrese Maxey, Shake Milton, and now Jaden Springer kind of in their reserve, in their reserve backcourt after Ben Simmons and Seth Curry. So it's going to be really interesting to see kind of how they use him. He's definitely, you know, a younger, longer-term upside kind of guy, but I think he could, you know, with a little bit of development from his shot, could really, you know, make an impact as soon as this season. We saw Tyrese Maxey have a lot of great games and a lot of impact this year for the Philadelphia 76ers as a rookie. And obviously, we don't, you know, profile Jaden Springer as the same type of impact player, you know, right off the bat offensively. But someone who can definitely guard, you know, you really hope that shot comes around, because if you're just putting him on the floor to guard, you know, he can be exposed a little bit, you know, offensively if they just, you know, neglect him completely, which, you know, I do think he's got kind of a good handle and can get to his spots. You know, he's definitely, you know, a two-foot kind of player where he's going to load up, jump off to, and get to the cup. But overall, I think we definitely liked this pick, not only as a fan, but as, you know, a lot of the evaluators really liked him. A lot of the draft, you know, specialists really liked him at 28 for the Philadelphia 76ers. And I like it as well. You know, you got to get these guys, especially when you're picking this late in the first round. You need guys like this who you can kind of project a little bit and predict what they can be. And, you know, if he does turn into an Avery Bradley type, that's going to be a big win for the Sixers. You know, a young, controllable guy on a decent contract who's giving you that kind of production, you know, I think it's definitely a good pick and someone who the Sixers were enamored with, as they were very, very excited when he ended up making it to them at 28. Next team I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit here is the Golden State Warriors, who held not one but two lottery selections for the first time in a long time. With their first selection, they chose Jonathan Kuminga, a 6'7 wing who decided to skip college last year and go the G League route and play for the G League Ignite. Kuminga actually was viewed by many going into last season as an easy top 5 pick and could potentially have challenged the top 3, you know, with good play in the G League. However, some inconsistent play led for him to slide a little bit, but his tape also showed a player who, with the right coaching, could become an all-star for many years to come. You know, that was the one thing, you know, his tape did him some favors and also hurt him a little bit because, you know, sometimes we'll start with the negatives, at least for Kuminga, and then we'll get into some of the positives, which kept him in the top 7. You know, some of his, you know, critics questioned his motor on the defensive end and, you know, some offensively, you know, he kind of, you know, has his game set. You know, he's a super athlete, not quite like a top of the league type of athlete, but a very, very, very good athlete. You know, a lot of people comped him to a type of Jaylen Brown type of mold. And I can see it too. I was really down on Jaylen Brown when he came into the league. I thought he was super raw, super young, just to be going that high. And, you know, Boston did a really, really good job in turning him into an all-star player. So that's the route I think Kuminga can really go, but you're going to need him to bring it every night defensively, because there is minutes up in the reserve wings for Golden State. So you know, if he can really get pushed by the Warriors to, you know, be good defensively consistently, and I think that's going to be his biggest thing is consistency, because he flashed, you know, all-star potential, you know, shot making, whether it be from the three, whether it be from the mid-range, or whether it be at the rim, you know, definitely flashed very, very good skills, and also, you know, just his defense, he also flashed there as well. You know, they had a game against the Santa Cruz Warriors, obviously the Warriors G League affiliate. And, you know, Jordan Poole, a player who the Warriors are going to count on a lot, spent some time down there to get his confidence up. And he had a play one game where I believe they were down two and broke down someone on the perimeter, got all the way to the paint, and Kuminga just cleaned that stuff off the glass. And it was just a play that just makes you say, wow, makes you really, like, raise your eyebrows, like, huh. You know, he that was pretty impressive. So, you know, a guy in Jonathan Kuminga going number 7, definitely viewed by a lot as a very, very high upside pick. And I think with the Warriors having two lottery picks, really wanted to hit on the present and on the future is what I'm kind of trying to get there. Obviously, you know, there's been a lot of rumors with the Warriors in trade talks, a lot of, you know, Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard, like, hey, we should get another star. You know, Joe Lacob recently, you know, went on the record after being interviewed after the draft saying, you know, we have our stars already. You know, we have Steph Curry, we have Klay Thompson, we have Draymond Green. What we need now is just rotation pieces. We need some, you know, good role players, and we need young, projectable guys who can kind of bridge our team from post-Dynasty Warriors to, you know, the next set of stars for their team. And, you know, with James Wiseman and Jonathan Kuminga, you know, you have two guys who are very young, very projectable, and, you know, could be the two faces of your team post-Curry, post-Thompson, post-Green. So, but, you know, that all comes down to if it breaks right. So, you know, I think at number 7, you really want to take a high upside guy there. And Kuminga falling to number 7, I think was fantastic for the Warriors. You know, they got someone who they can view long term as a very high upside guy, but at the same time, you know, got someone at pick number 14 who we'll get into now that can help more probably in the now. So with that, the second player they took at 14 overall was a guy by the name of Moses Moody from the University of Arkansas. Moody is a 6'6 wing, obviously from Arkansas, like I just said, and was viewed by many as a home run pick for the Warriors here. As I just mentioned and referenced in talking about Kuminga there, Joe Lacob said that he had not just Kuminga, but Moody as top 10 guys on their team board. So he was very, very ecstatic when he fell all the way down to 14. You know, guys on the Athletic had him ranked number 7 on their board. So for him to go all the way down here was just a great get for the team. You know, a 3-and-D guy who has a great body to guard, a 7-1 wingspan. You know, needs to develop a little bit more off the dribble offensively, but definitely a very, very good shooter. You know, get a little athleticism concerns, you know, needs to quicken up his jumper a little bit for the NBA level, but, you know, a lot of people really, really love, his outlook, and I do too. He's got the right mentality, and I think is really going to help the Warriors a little bit more this year. Someone who really does well off the catch, shooting the basketball, someone who understands how to move without the basketball, and can guard, especially on the perimeter. So I do think he'll help out a little bit more for the Warriors now, but also someone who, you know, can still be a piece for the future. So I think it was a great pick for the Warriors. I think it was a great draft overall for the Warriors, which we'll get into in a little bit. But yeah, I think in Kuminga and Moses Moody, you know, two players that the Warriors really liked and, you know, got great values on in both picks. So after, now we just talked about a couple teams there, I did want to talk about just a couple singular picks I really liked, you know, that I think teams hit home runs with. First being Chris Duarte, number 13 overall to the Indiana Pacers. This was a guy who the Warriors were looking at 14 and was gaining a lot of steam in the pre-draft process. And, you know, I think he's going to be a very, very good NBA player. You know, the knock on him almost is that he's a 24-year-old senior out of Oregon, you know, exercised every year of eligibility. Excuse me, he had at Oregon. But when you look at him, a 6'6 guard who has a very, very good three-point shot, a very, very good handle, and understands how to score. Also a very, very good team defender. You know, I think this is a home run pick for the Pacers. I really kind of wanted the Warriors to get him at 13. But at the end of the day, the Pacers made a great pick here. You know, it's weird when you got a guy that's 24 years old, a lot of people are like, he doesn't really have much projectability, you know, he doesn't really have much more upside, but, you know, you kind of are what you are, but at the same time, you know, with seasoning in the NBA, I think he could only get better. I think it's going to be, you know, Pacers do have a decent amount of guards on their team, so it's going to be interesting to see how he plays with the team, like how he fits in the rotation. Honestly, I would have seen a guy like Moses Moody potentially here a little bit better fit for the Pacers, but overall, I like the pick a lot in Chris Duarte. And like I mentioned, him being 24, someone who is mature in his game and in just, you know, himself. So I think that's a really, really good pick there for the Pacers. I also thought the pick at number 11 that the Charlotte Hornets made in James Bouknight was a tremendous pick. If anyone listened to the mock draft episode we actually had Bouknight going number 6 to the Thunder. So for him to slide all the way down to 11, I think was a very, very good value pick for the Hornets. Someone who's just a great scorer, a 6'5 player from Connecticut, and, you know, has skills that will translate to the NBA very, very quickly. Even if he doesn't come in and step into a starting role right away, he's going to be a very, very good bench scorer, where he can come in and just get his shot whenever it is needed. The only thing that he really, really needs to work on here is his defense. You know, everyone really understands that he can score the ball, he can fill it up. You know, his shot was also a question, but he, you know, shot the ball really well in the pre-draft process. So, once his defense comes along, he's going to be a very good NBA starter. So, I like what Charlotte's building here. You know, obviously they have LaMelo Ball. They have a couple other guards in Devontae Graham and Terry Rozier. Also have Gordon Hayward at the three. And now they have a guy in James Bouknight. You know, Miles Bridges. They're building a little something here. So he'll probably come off the bench and be a little bit of a sixth man there scoring the basketball. But like I said, I really like that pick. We had him going a lot higher on our mock draft. So at number 11, we like the value there. Another pick I really liked, Scotty Barnes at number 4 to the Toronto Raptors. I loved Scotty Barnes. I was hoping that he was going to slide a little bit, but you know, we had him going number 5 to the Magic in our mock draft, but that was more that we thought Jalen Suggs was going to go to Toronto. But I, you know, I am, if there's any player that, you know, in this pre-draft process, which we've been studying, that I, you know, fell in love with more that I just don't know if there's another player I fell in love with more than Scotty Barnes. You know, he is, I feel like, just the prototypical wing player right now. His defense is, you know, maybe in a year or two it could be all NBA. He can really guard 1 through 5. He's 6'9", has a big wingspan. You know, he's going to be someone that can come in and play right away. And that's what I like. Obviously, his shooting is not good right now. But, you know, Toronto has done a good job with OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam in figuring their jump shot out a little bit. But, you know, when you also got guys like OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam, you know, they're going to be mean defensively. They're going to be a very, very good defensive lineup. And, you know, Barnes also does a lot of good things off the court too. He's got infectious energy and, you know, really good locker room guy. So I think he, you know, he's a very, very high floor player, but if his jump shot comes around, he is also a very high ceiling player as well. I just thought this was a home run pick for the Toronto Raptors. A team that wasn't expected to pick number 4. You know, they got some lottery luck with the ping pong balls. And I think they, you know, made a great pick. You know, the chalk pick would have been Jalen Suggs here. And I like, you know, Jalen Suggs a lot. You know, definitely a good pick to the Magic at number 5. But, you know, like I said, I kind of fell in love with the Scotty Barnes pick here. And for Toronto to get him at number 4, I thought it was a smart pick. And, you know, they're definitely building a stout defensive lineup up in the 6. So, like I mentioned, love Scotty Barnes. Love the pick here for Toronto. Another pick I really liked, and another guy who, after doing some research, you know, really was rising up my board. Trey Murphy, 6'8 wing out of Virginia, was taken by the Grizzlies at 17, but trade actually is going to send him to New Orleans. This was part of the Jonas Valanciunas, Steven Adams swap. So it's going to be interesting here. I loved everything I was seeing from Trey Murphy. An elite shooter and a plus defender. And I mean, when you're talking about picking at 17, it's, you know, great. A lot of people are comping him to a Trevor Ariza type. And you're going to get him, you know, a young Trevor Ariza if you're talking about that. I think it's, you know, great. You know, a lot of another comp, a guy like Cam Johnson, who the Phoenix Suns took a couple years ago. Another good comp for Trey Murphy. You know, I thought it was a great pick, especially going to New Orleans now with Zion Williamson and Jonas Valanciunas now in the front court. You're going to need shooting around him. And it looks like Lonzo Ball may or may not be heading to Chicago in free agency. So, you know, you got a guy, another guy in Brandon Ingram. There are going to be a big team, but I also think there are going to be a skilled team as well. And, you know, a lot of long, big players in Brandon Ingram, now Trey Murphy, Zion Williamson, obviously. And you're going to need some shooting around him. So that's why I really loved the Trey Murphy here pick. You know, a lot of people weren't too high on his upside because, like I said, you might just be trading for, or you might just be drafting a Trevor Ariza type here, a Cam Johnson, like in a role player here. But when you're at 17, you know, what else do you really expect to find here? You're not finding a superstar player. So I really loved the Trey Murphy pick here. I thought, like I said, he's a guy who I've been rising on over the pre-draft process. So I really like that pick from the Pelicans at 17. You know, I keep kind of going back to, you know, the Warriors picks just with 7 and 14, just, you know, kind of two barometers there. You know, I thought he was in consideration at 14. You know, if you listen to our mock draft, I actually had the Warriors taking him at 14. So, you know, just a guy, I believe I had him at 14. Hold on. Now you guys are making me second question or second guess myself here. Yeah, I had, oh geez, now I'm falling apart here. Yeah, I had Trey Murphy going to the Warriors at 14. So, you know, definitely someone who I think can come in and contribute right away with the three ball and also be a very good defender in the league. So, like I said, I love this pick. I'm falling in love with Trey Murphy as he's riding the rising the board, and he's going to the Pelicans. So good pick there from New Orleans. Another pick I like, might just be a homer pick here, but Jalen Johnson out of Duke University, or kind of out of Duke University, number 20 to the Atlanta Hawks here. You know, at the number 20 pick, it's tough to find guys with the upside of Jalen Johnson. You know, not the best defender, but someone who at 6'9", is just a tremendous ball handler and distributor. I think he could be a very good player in the second unit for Atlanta to kind of run the offense almost, because when he comes down in transition, he's, you know, obviously not the same type of player as Zion Williamson. Like, they're totally two different players, but the way I want to compare them is when they get the ball and they get ahead of steam in transition, they have the ability to go right to the rim. They have the ability to pass the ball. And they have the ability to break someone down off the dribble. So I really think that his athleticism is going to play in the league. You know, someone who's 6'9", has the size. And especially with the Hawks, you know, potentially letting a guy like John Collins walk, I think, you know, Jalen Johnson could slide right into that role and potentially even start for the Hawks if things break right. I think, you know, there's definitely some question marks here. You know, I'm not going to question a guy and his, you know, his personal decisions, business decisions too much. You know, definitely a guy who had a foot injury in college and then came back. And then Duke obviously lost a few games. And then Jalen Johnson ended up deciding to opt out for the rest of the season. And, you know, I totally get it. I'm not going to, you know, bang on a guy for opting out. But at the same time, it kind of seemed like once the going got tough at Duke, once we lost a couple games, you know, it kind of seemed to give up on the guys. And, you know, that was one thing that kind of, you know, soured me on his draft stock going into the year. Like, you know, how much are you really committed to, you know, to your teammates? And then maybe not just yourself and your on-court game, but like, you know, if you had a foot injury, you know, just sit out the rest of the year. I don't care. But if you're healthy enough to come back and then you're like, ah, no, I'm going to sit out for the rest of the year to rehab my foot injury. It's like, well, you know, were you actually healthy? Like, were, you know, what? If you came back and started playing, you must have been healthy enough to play. So why, you know, I totally get him opting out. I totally get him sitting out with the injury and, you know, sitting out the rest of the year to rehab that injury. But at the end of the day, if you're going to come back and play, you might as well come back and play. And, you know, I just don't think that that was really a really good, you know, check mark on his resume, so to speak. But I do think the player, if we're just talking about on the court, you know, there's a lot to like in Jalen Johnson. When he left with his foot injury the first time, you know, Duke just fell apart, really couldn't create shots because he was a creator for the team. Not really a scorer, but someone who could get them into their offense, could get guys good shots and could get guys in their spots. So, you know, I like the pick here. Like I said, there is some question marks here, but at 20, I think this is as good a pick as you can make if you're the Atlanta Hawks. And then there was two second-round picks I really liked. I wanted to touch on real quick here. Two guys in Ayo Dosunmu out of Illinois and Jared Butler out of Baylor. I really like both of these picks. I think Chicago made a good pick in Dosunmu here. I'll get to Butler in a few minutes. So I'll just talk about Dosunmu here. But he is an elite defender. In the league, I think he's going to be a very good defender right when he steps on the court. You know, his jumper is where it kind of is where it gets a little fishy. You know, a lot of people kind of compare him to a very, very young Drew Holiday, and I could see it. I think he needs to shoot a little bit better to stick on the court. I mean, he's only 6'2", definitely not a traditional point guard, so then you're asking a 6'2 player to run the two guard. You know, he just definitely needs to work on his ball handling and his shooting a little bit to be an NBA starter. But in the second round here, you're talking about a guy who the Athletic had rated at number 23 on their board. And I think once he, you know, gets the shooting along, it's going to help his ball handling out a little bit. You know, he can get to the rim and score that way. And in transition can be very, very good. But, you know, I do think once the jump shot comes along, it is going to open up his game a lot more. And especially in the NBA today, players without jump shots can kind of get exploited to a certain degree. So, like I said, love the pick there at 38. And then my favorite value pick of the whole draft here, Jared Butler at number 40 overall. Like, are you kidding me? I wanted the Sixers should take him at 28. I thought he was a prospect, you know, a consideration for a ton of teams in the late teens, you know, from 15 to 20. You know, the Athletic had him ranked number 17 on their big board. I thought he, you know, a home run pick here. You know, a combo scoring guard, definitely built for today's NBA. He slid a little bit because of medicals, I believe. There was some health questions there, but this was in no world a slide for a lack of talent. I mean, he can create shots off the catch. He can create shots off the dribble. You know, I can't believe he made it to number four. You know, his teammate Davion Mitchell came out and, you know, talked about just he's a guy you want on your team. Just such a good guy. You know, a hard worker, but, you know, that's the first thing he said. You know, he said, what a guy's getting in Jared Butler. It's just like, oh man, he's just a good dude, like a very, very good dude, you know, just a great guy for the locker room. And, you know, there's obviously totally off topic and totally different sport, but, you know, guy, Kumar Rocker, a pitcher from Vanderbilt, got drafted by the New York Mets. And, you know, we'll get into that whole situation on another show, but, you know, they asked his college coach after the season finished up, you know, about Kumar Rocker, and he went on for about 4 minutes talking about the kid and didn't once mention him as a pitcher. And I think those type of guys are just, they're not bust proof, but those type of guys tend to succeed at the next level. Those guys tend to overachieve wherever they go. And, you know, I don't mean overachieve as if they're not good and that, you know, they turn themselves into good, but, you know, they could be good and turn themselves into very good players and very good rotation players. And I think he's going to get valuable minutes for the Jazz this year. I mean, you got guys like Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley starting in the backcourt. You know, they are a deep team and they play a lot of guys. And I think he's been at Baylor a couple years. You know, he's 20 years old, going to be 21 by the time the season starts. You know, I think he could get minutes right away. And I'm, you know, like I'm sure you guys can tell just listening to this, I'm shocked and, you know, in love with this pick by the Jazz. Like I said, I kind of wanted the Sixers to take him at 28. I thought a number of teams could have moved up into the early second round and taken him once they saw him start to slip. You know, like, I can't believe the Bulls kind of passed him up. I can't believe the Pistons passed him up. You know, the Thunder, I can't believe they passed him up. The Pelicans, you know, there's just a number of teams here. The Magic, the Knicks, you know, at 32, I thought would have taken him. So, like I keep kind of mentioning, I loved that pick for the Jazz there at 40. And a couple teams I just wanted to touch on here who I believe had good drafts. Number three, I'm just going to give three teams here. Number three, the Magic. They had the number five and number eight overall picks, selecting Jalen Suggs and Franz Wagner. I think two great picks here. You know, they have Markelle Fultz in Orlando, but he, you know, suffered a torn ACL last year, so he might not be ready for the start of the season, which is going to give Jalen Suggs the keys to the offense right away. And also a guy in Franz Wagner who I think is going to fit in right away. He was one of the more pro-ready guys in the draft. And he's definitely, you know, a very, very good combo forward who can defend, handle, and score. He can also shoot enough to stay on the court. So, you know, I think that two great picks. You know, you're not going to get any bad words about those two guys from me. Number two, I also like Golden State's draft. I kind of went into detail on that, so I'm not going to go too much more into that. And number one, I think Houston killed this draft. I think, you know, for a rebuilding team like Houston, you know, they made a lot of great picks. Starting off at the top at number two overall with Jalen Green, someone who projects to be a potential scoring champ in this league. You know, we went into it on the mock draft and everything, a three-level scorer, a ridiculous athlete. You know, I think someone who can really, really be a centerpiece for the Rockets going forward. And then they made a pick at number 16. They traded with the Oklahoma City Thunder for Alperen Sengun, an international prospect. As good offensive big as there was in the draft. I keep referencing, you know, the athletic ranks just because I trust their evaluators a lot. They have a lot of great guys there. I have had an athletic subscription for years now. I highly recommend it. But they had him ranked eighth, and they got him at number 16. Like I keep mentioning, he was a great offensive player, you know, as polished a big as there was in the draft. Defense was his question mark, though, which is probably why he slid a little bit. But the Rockets addressed that with their number 23 overall pick in Usman Garuba from Real Madrid. He was ranked number 11 with the Athletic rankings here. So, and he's kind of like the opposite of Sengun, you know, a tremendous defensive prospect, like one of the best defensive prospects in the whole draft, not just for bigs. Obviously his offense needs work, like I said, with the opposite of Sengun, but you know, you got two bigs now. Garuba's a 6'8 big, so probably not going to be playing down low in the post a lot, might have to come out to the wing a little bit, but with his defensive presence, if he gets on the court enough too, he could potentially make an all defensive team. So two great picks there. And then also to finish off their draft, they had a fourth first round pick, which they used on Josh Christopher out of Arizona State. One of the best shot creators in the draft. You know, shifty, got a great handle, and you know, someone in today's NBA, that's valuable. And especially for a team in the Rockets who are going to need players to make shots. Obviously they have John Wall and, you know, Jalen Green now, and, you know, Kevin Porter Jr. to score, but they are going to need some bench scorers. So if Josh Christopher can make the team, you know, he's going to do well as a reserve shot creator when those ball starting ball handlers are on the bench. So, you know, they ended up using five total picks, actually, to make these four, because they traded with the Oklahoma City Thunder. They sent two future firsts to the Thunder for the number 16 overall pick. So they ended up taking away four players out of this draft in the first round. And, you know, I kept mentioning that Athletic rank. You know, Josh Christopher was ranked 42nd with the Athletic. So, you know, definitely a little bit of a reach here potentially. But, you know, I think there was some other players, maybe like a guy like Jared Butler, honestly, I might have taken over him. But, you know, I think Christopher is good enough, and, you know, a guy who's very, very close with their first pick, Jalen Green. So I think that was a good pick in terms of the locker room and everything. And I think he could be valuable as a bench creator. All right, I'm just going to finish up here with three picks that, you know, were a little surprising, I think. The first pick, which was a little bit of a head-scratcher here, was Davion Mitchell, number 7 to Sacramento. It's not that I don't like the player at all. You know, I had him going number 7 to Golden State in our mock draft. So, you know, I like the player a lot, But, you know, the fit was a little bit of a question mark here. You know, they already have De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Haliburton, two very, very good guards. So I just, you know, is he going to come off the bench and do it that way? You know, they also have Buddy Hield, so Haliburton's probably going to be coming off the bench as well. You know, you want Haliburton to run the one, too, and the one as well, like the point guard. And then, you know, but you also have Davion Mitchell, who you probably want to run the guard as point guard as well, because he's only 6'2", or 6'3", you know, hell of a defender, but, you know, might not be able to guard, or is going to be at a size disadvantage at the two position in the NBA. So, you know, it was a little bit of a head-scratching pick there. You know, I thought there was other guys who they definitely could have went here, you know, one being potentially Sengun, especially with their lack of, you know, scoring in the front court. I think they could have used Alpert and Sengun, which the Rockets ended up grabbing. But, you know, I don't hate the player at all. Just a little bit of a fit question there. I think the biggest surprise of the whole draft was number 12 in San Antonio taking Josh Primo. I mean, do you know who that is, Josh Primo? Because I didn't. You know, a guy who went to Alabama, didn't really play a lot either. A lot of people thought it was a little bit of a reach here. You know, he was graded as a late first, early second round type of talent. The Athletic had him ranked 34th on their big board. I think the San Antonio Spurs could have traded back a little bit. I think a lot of teams were looking to trade up. You know, they could have potentially taken both of the Knicks picks, 19 and 21, and still taken Primo at number 19. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, no one's questioning his shooting. That's probably his best attribute, but, you know, not the best athlete, not the best ball handler, definitely not the best defender. So it's going to take a lot of development here. But I think one of the bigger things that jumps out a little bit might be that this might be the Spurs signaling that they might be blowing it up a little bit. Definitely not going to be re-signing DeMar DeRozan. Probably also are going to be parting with some of their older players as well. So, you know, we'll see. Definitely a head-scratching pick there for the Spurs. But, you know, with the Spurs, how they've done in the past, you kind of give them the benefit of the doubt a little bit with some of these no-name prospects and what they can do with them. So we'll see what they do with Primo after selecting him at the number 12 pick. And then the last pick I'll talk about here, Josh Giddey, number 6 to Oklahoma City. You know, I don't think anyone really questions his basketball IQ or his passing ability. That was, you know, one of the best. He was one of the best playmakers in the draft at that. You know, a 6'8", 18-year-old ball handler who's been playing professionally for multiple years overseas in Australia. So, you know, a guy who, you know, some see as a point guard, some see as a secondary ball handler. You know, I swore personally that Oklahoma City was going to move this pick. If you listen to our mock draft episode, you know, Connor Laverty joined me on the show. He also thought that Oklahoma City was going to move the pick. But they ended up sticking with the number 6 pick and taking Josh Giddey. Like I mentioned, his passing ability is why he went this high. It's second to none, really, in this draft. If he can improve his body and shooting ability, you know, this could be a very good pick for Oklahoma City, especially on a rebuilding team. I think he's going to have a little bit longer leash to let his creativity shine. And you kind of saw that with LaMelo Ball, you know, when he was going through high school, when he was going through his route to get to the NBA. And in the NBA, they kind of give him a lot of leash because he can make spectacular plays. And, you know, with those types of players, you never want to kill their confidence, because their confidence is what allows them to be the type of players they are. So I think on a rebuilding team like the Thunder, you know, he's going to be able to let his creativity shine. I think he is going to end up a little bit more as a secondary playmaker. Like I kind of mentioned, some people see him as a long-term point guard. Others see him as a secondary ball handler. I think he's going to be a little bit more of a secondary playmaker, especially if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is still on the roster, because he's just going to be an absolute stud this year and put up monster numbers. You know, but if they end up trading him, I could see Giddey getting a lot more responsibility as a lead playmaker. And, you know, he's got great size for his skill set especially. So, you know, definitely a question about whether he deserved to go number 6. I think this totally shook the board up. Made the Warriors take Kuminga, made Book Knight slide a little bit, probably made the Kings take Davion Mitchell here. So, you know, I think it definitely shook the board up, which was good and probably what Oklahoma City was intending to do. So that's going to kind of wrap up our draft coverage. Free agency is the next thing on the docket for the NBA. That actually opens at 6 p.m. Eastern today, August 2nd. So we'll keep an eye out for that. There's going to be an episode coming in the coming days, recapping some of the big moves in free agency. And we'll kind of get to that once a lot of those dominoes start to fall. But with that, that's going to kind of wrap up the show for today. Just to put a bow on it, please hit that subscribe button if you enjoyed what we talked about today. Also, if you enjoyed the podcast as a whole, please leave a 5-star review on the platform you're listening to. It really means a lot. Helps the podcast reach new audiences. It only takes a couple seconds just to drop down and hit that 5-star. So, you know, if you like what you're listening to, if you like me and my takes, please drop that 5-star review. It would really mean a lot. If you want to follow us on social media, check the description below. I hope you all enjoyed, and I can't wait to see you back here again next time. I am your host, Noah Gillian, but hey, this is just one man's opinion.